and bless us in word tonight. How many's glad to have him home tonight? Amen. God bless my son.
Praise the Lord, church. It's great to be back home. I love coming back home. I love it a lot more than Stockton, but I'm so glad to have been blessed with the opportunity to go to Stockton and turn around my life and give my life to God. And I'm so grateful to be here. And I won't be too long. I'm not like one of those preachers that says I'm not going to be too long, and then 3 hours later, you're still sitting down. But hopefully God has a word for all of us here tonight, including myself. So we're going to turn to Acts 12, 1 and 5. I'll just read it up there. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. You go to the next one. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I'm going to preach on this thought tonight about the power of prayer. If we could just lift our hands and just pray for God to have his way. Oh, hallelujah, God. Lord, I pray you have your way in this service, God. Oh, I pray that this message will touch every single person in this place, God. Oh, I pray that your anointing and blessings will fall over this place, God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So I was doing a lot of research about prayer, and when I was trying to figure out what I was going to preach tonight, I was just lost. So just went into prayer, and that's the first thing that God put in my head was just prayer. He just wants the church to know that prayer is not just another thing that we can just play about anymore. Prayer, it needs to be a daily thing in our lives, and we can't take prayer for granted anymore. And when you're going to say a prayer, it's most likely because you want change or something to happen in your life. Like when you're praying for a blessing, you expect to be blessed afterwards. And when you're praying for protection, you want to feel safe or comforted after that prayer. And for me, when I was younger, not really younger, because it's about now too, I still get a little scared sometimes, but I'll be at the house and it's later, and my mom and dad, they're going to bed, and all the lights are on in the house, and my mom's like, Tristan, before you go to bed, just make sure you turn off all the lights. And I was like, okay. So there's only three lights left on in the house, and I'm in one of the rooms that has the lights, and then I'll turn off one of the lights, and then I'll run to the other room, because it's all dark, and I don't want something to grab me or something. I'm just scared, and I'm just like, oh, Jesus. It's like, get me through. And then I get to the next one, and I turn off that light, and then I just run to my room. I get there, but you know, God protected me. I prayed. Hallelujah. sorry, I lost my place. We also love praying to God for deliverance, and we expect, after that prayer, we expect all of our problems just to be taken care of like that, but, you know, it doesn't work like that. We can't just have one prayer and then expect God to, you know, deliver us from that situation. Like, for example, like, there's these great athletes like, you know, LeBron, like I like LeBron. LeBron or Michael Jordan, they're really talented, but do you think they really got to where they're at today because they just one day they're like, oh, I want to play basketball, and then they ended up becoming one of the greatest people at the thing that they do? But it's the same exact thing in the church. We can't just pray one prayer and expect everything to be better, and then we just leave the church because we think that prayer is going to just take care of our lives. See, that's when the problems start happening, because we expect too much of God, but we don't even put anything onto ourselves. We expect God to take care of all of our needs, and we don't put any of the time and effort in. We'll be on our phones, or we'll be on the social media more than we'll even be in prayer. And it's something that's taken over this generation in this time. It was just our phones, we're so consumed that we'll just be on our phone and we'll know direct, like we don't even have to look at our phone. We can, I found myself doing this. We open the app and we scroll right to the app. We don't even have to look. We click on it and then we're scrolling. And then we end up seeing things that we don't need to see, but we end up keep scrolling. So there was a lot of things in my life that I had to get rid of. I had to delete out of my life just because I didn't need those in my life. They were messing with my head and not only messing with my eyes, but they were messing with my spiritual walk with God. And you find yourself having problems in life, and we blame it on God, but it's really because what we're intaking. Like, it's if we intake something that's gonna be bad, like, so In-N-Out, I love In-N-Out. If we're going to In-N-Out and you intake a burger and it's gonna taste good, it's gonna feel good to you. So if we're intaking the Bible, if we're reading it daily, you're gonna feel good and inspire yourself and your spiritual walk is gonna be great. But we can't come to church every Sunday and Wednesday and expect that we're gonna be saved, because we just come the Sunday and the Wednesday, and then after that, we'll go back to the same routine, and then we're just back to square one. We're praying on Sunday. We're last ones at the altar praying Sunday. Last one at the altar is praying on Wednesday. And then right after that, we're going back looking on the same things that we shouldn't be looking at, or listening to the same things that we shouldn't be listening to. And it's insane what the world has come to today. It's terrible. And sorry. And it's crazy when you think about it, that when you're praying and then you see that there's people that are, they're on their phones more in service than they go to the altar after service. They'll be texting, looking at their phone, and then they're on their phone for like 30 minutes, hour, 2 hours a day, and then when they get to the altar, it's 5 minutes and they think they're done. So we expect that a 5, 10, 15 minute prayer, we think it's enough. I pray that 5, 15 minute prayer will get you to heaven. I pray that that we pray and give it all we got, because if we're gonna pray, if we need to at least, I feel like Brother Mark Brown talked about it, we need to at least give 30 minutes of our time to prayer every single day. We can't open up our days with not prayer. We need to open our days with prayer and not talking to other people. We need to open up with prayer before we get onto our phones, because right when we wake up, we're going onto our phones, and it's the intake we're putting in our brains. And if we see that thing that we're not supposed to be seeing right early in the day, it's going to affect how your whole day is. And sorry. It's good. Sorry, it's God. But I'm not here to like condemn anybody, but because I'm not only preaching to you guys, I'm preaching to myself, because I have a phone, I'm on my phone a lot of the times of the day. And Mark Brown, when he preached about it, he really convicted me about how we're on our phone. So he led all of CLC to go to a 3-month fast. So I believe we all need to go on a 3-month fast from our phone. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna put that on you guys. But Brother Mark Brown, he challenged our CLC, he challenged us to a 3-month fast from all media, like YouTube, Netflix, Instagram, just so what we're intaking is a lot better than the things that we're going to be seeing on our phone. And it's crazy, I was talking to my, one of the friends I've met at the college. I met him this year, he's a really great guy, his name's Garrett. And I was in the car with him, and we're just sitting talking about God. And he's like, do you ever think about all these people, like they get so excited, or like they'll start crying when they see like someone famous, like they'll legit, like they'll be in tears. Like if that person just looks at them, they'll just immediately start weeping. It's the funniest thing. And like most people, like they don't get the chance to talk to them, but when they do, they're speechless. Like I got to meet, I don't really like him, but I got to meet Steve Kerr. He's the coach for the Warriors, and I didn't know what to say. Like, it was crazy. Like, I've never met someone as famous as him before. But when you think about it, when we're praying every day, we're talking to a God that created all things, and we take it for granted. We take it so for granted. And we can't take it for granted. Like, he created the heaven, he created you. We shouldn't even be here today because God, like, he made you, and he didn't have to come back to this. He didn't have to manifest himself into the flesh and die for us, but he did that because he loves us so much. And we take it for granted that we can pray to him every day. And a lot of people don't even know about this truth, but we can just walk across the street right down to someone's house and knock on doors. We need to go back to that old type of Pentecostal where we're going, knocking on doors, outreaching. Ooh. And people wonder why we don't have great revivals like other churches do. It's because we're not interceding, we're not praying, and we're not reaching out to this world. And going back to the Acts 12 and 5, if you can put it up on the screen. And Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but the prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And then if you can go to the next one. Go to verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. No, none of us would be here tonight if it wasn't for our parents. Well, not all of us are blessed with the opportunity to have parents in our life that come to church, but I know I definitely would not be here in the church today if it wasn't for my two loving and praying parents. Like, there's so many people that we don't realize are interceding and praying for us, so we just expect to feel sorry for ourselves, but it's time to stop feeling sorry for ourselves and stand up in what we believe in. And even for the ones that don't have parents growing up in the church, that they're getting them for themselves. I'm not saying you're blessed to not have them here, but whenever you don't have, Brother Lopez talked about it in our youth ministries class, and he talked about when you don't have a parent figure for you in your life for spiritual, that's when God steps in and he takes the role of them, and then he'll end up reaching to you, and he'll end up taking you in like your own child. Ooh. And we become so reliant on the prayers and the ministries of other people. We come to Pastor Grogan sometimes, and we try to get him to counsel. Like, "Oh, Pastor, counsel to me, teach to me. Like, I don't know what to do in my life," when he just preached about that Sunday night. We're not taking in the words of the preacher. We need to start taking in these words because he's preaching some powerful stuff from God, and then we're going inside asking for direction, and then he's just going to tell you the same exact thing that he preached, and then we're just going to look there lost. And God has a plan for each and every one of us. You may not seem like it's like I'm just a saint in the church, but I honestly believe with all my heart that God has a ministry for everybody. It may not be preaching, it may not be being in Sunday school, it may not be singing or anything, but it may just be a saint in the church outreaching to the people in the, like, outreaching to the guests. We need to stop feeling so sorry for ourselves, and we just need to get up and start praying and just outreaching. I believe that we all need to build some altars in our lives because if we don't have this solid prayer foundation, if we don't have this solid, like, prayer and Bible reading in our lives, then we're going to be lost. Because we can come to church and we can read our Bible, like, all that we want, but if we're not constantly building that relationship with God with prayer, then we're just going to end up lost. And we just need to build these altars, and we need to build them steady, and we need to cut out some things from our life. You may know what those things are because everyone's different, but you need to start cutting those things out of your life, and we need to build those altars. Throw all your cares and cares upon God, and he will come to you. You just stay strong with your prayer and your fasting, and God will touch you. And we think fasting is just a reason not to eat. And I mean, some of us like it because they're like, oh yes, I eat all the time, I need to stop eating. But it's more than just not eating. Because fasting is, we're giving up the desires of our flesh, and we're gonna insert all that time that we spent on eating and doing all those other things to prayer and reading our Bible. We need to start consecrating into this word, and we need to start praying a lot more than we are right now. Hallelujah. And I believe God really does have a word for every one of us. Hallelujah. If we can just pray right now. Jesus, just lift up your hands right now. The inconsistency has to stop now. We need to stop being so consumed with this world. We need to be more involved and in tune into the service and into this word. We cannot take any of this for granted anymore. That God is coming. We may hear it a lot, but God is coming right now. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, karaya sheta borraya santo. Oh, karaya sharaya sehroya ko. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. You don't have to come to the altar tonight, but if you really want a change and change done in your life right now, I come to the altar. But if you don't want change, it's fine. You can sit down. But for those that really want change, I call you to come to the altar right now, because God is going to do a change in your life tonight. Oh, karaya shoraya sehroya ka. Oh, raboya sharaya sehroya. Now is the time for prayer. Now is the time to change some things in our lives. It's time to cut those nasty things out of our lives. It's time. No more inconsistency. This is going to be a daily thing. We're going to consume ourselves into this word. We're going to plant our face down every day. And we're going to say, God, I'm sorry. I'm not worthy to even stop giving you praise, God. Oh, karaya shavaraya.
Come on, there's a call to prayer. We got a lot of time. Let's have focused prayer. God, I'm hungry for you. God, I'm thirsty for you. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we need you, God, today. We need you, God. Oh, we're hungry for you. God, we're thirsty for you. Come on, this is what your home needs. This is what your family needs. It's what this world needs. It's men and women that'll give themselves to prayer. Men and women that would have a hunger and a desire that burns on the inside of their soul to commune with God. Spend time with him. Oh, I love you, God, today. 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 I want more of you. I want more of you. More of you, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We all know this scripture. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And many times we stop at that verse, and if prayer does anything, it does every one of those things. But if you read in verse 15, the Lord says, this is what happens. When you start seeking my face and you start praying, he said, my eyes shall be opened. The Lord's eyes shall be open. When you begin to pray, he said, you're opening my eyes and my ears are attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. You want God's eyes? You want God's ears focused on you? He said, all you've got to do, if my people which are called by my name shall pray. He said, I'll see and I'll hear it. We've got power within our grasp to get as much of him as we possibly can. I think it was yesterday, the day before, I was praying. And I was like, God, I desire you so much. And I felt an impression that was basically, you don't desire me as much as I desire you. We say we desire God, and that's a great thing. But God's response is, I desire you more. You say you love me with your words, but he says, I love you more. You say you really care about me, but God says, I care about you more. I want to open up windows of heaven. I want to bless you. But the key's in your hand. And if you don't use the key, the windows can't be opened. Thank you, Brother Tristan Grogan. There's power in prayer. Power in prayer. You may not be able to quote every verse in the Word of God, but you got power in prayer. Doesn't matter how long you've been in this, you've got power in prayer. It doesn't matter how many genealogies you have in this. You may be the very first spiritual patriarch in your home. Can I say it again? You've got power in your prayer. And what a novel idea. I know everybody cringed when he said, y'all need to take a fast for 3 months. Tell you what, things would change in your house. What if you called yourself to a prayer? Maybe a 24-hour prayer that will build into a week, that will build into a month. You say, Pastor, I can't survive without it. Well, had you survived 5 years ago or 10 years ago when all we had were those pagers? But we've got somehow enamored in this false world that we grasp a hold of this when we can grasp a hold of him. He said he'll hear me. He said his eyes will be opened. His ears would be attentive to my prayer. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for the call to pray. Thank you, God, for giving us a venue that we can run through and commune with you. Thank you for your word where you said if we'll draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. Oh, we're praying today. We can't change yesterday, but we can change today. I'm going to turn some things around, and I'm going to start praying not just at ALC, but I'm going to pray at home. I'm going to pray at my school. I'm going to pray at my job. I'm going to pray everywhere I go. So I want your eyes to open unto me. In Jesus' name, clap your hands unto the Lord.